Hey everybody, this is Dr. Jervik, and this is going to be a relatively short podcast about pain medication. So I'm going to start with acetaminophen. As you know, it is over the counter. It can be given both orally, IV, also can even give it rectally. It is a non-opioid analgesic. Max dose, newer literature says 3,000 milligrams. But in a healthy adult, you can go up to 4,000 milligrams in a 24-hour rolling period. Now, you wouldn't want to do that for an extended period of time. But in the short term, if you're, you know, having to take DayQuil, NyQuil, or you're taking Percocet or something like that that has the acetaminophen built into it, they could go up to 4,000 milligrams. Again, major side effect is going to be that liver dysfunction. So we would monitor liver enzymes, AST, ALTs. Pardon me, sorry about that. Of course, if they ended up with too much, we would start seeing some hepatic issues, which you'll learn about later on. So I'm not going to go into a lot of those signs and symptoms. How do we know that it works? We are going to hopefully see a decrease in that pain level in that 0 to 10. Or if we're giving it for antipyretic, we would see a drop in the fever, but that's not what we're talking about at this time, right? Okay, so let's talk about ibuprofen. So ibuprofen, another over-the-counter medication. Over-the-counter dose is 400 milligrams every 4 hours. Prescription strength can be up to 800 milligrams. Maximum daily dose is 3,200 milligrams. We would not want to sustain that for a long period of time because ibuprofen is very hard on the kidneys. Ibuprofen, likewise, can be given PO or IV. Again, we're only usually giving those IV doses of either acetaminophen or ibuprofen in the hospital because they are very expensive. It is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medication. Again, the big issues we're worried about is kidney dysfunction, GI bleeding, obviously could cause some, if we're bleeding too much, some anemia. So some of the assessments that we're going to monitor before or after, and we would be assessing for any hearing loss, blurred vision, or tinnitus, because that can indicate toxicity. With ibuprofen and acetaminophen, we want them to avoid alcohol. Specifically with acetaminophen, we're going to avoid alcohol because of that liver toxicity. With ibuprofen, because alcohol can cause increased bleeding, we want to avoid the alcohol with the ibuprofen. Again, we're hoping to see that decrease in pain. So Percocet, which is a combination medication of oxycodone and acetaminophen, that is most often given orally. It is an opioid analgesic. And with all opioids, it can cause constipation, always can cause nausea and vomiting. It's a good idea with your opioids as well as ibuprofen to take those with food. Because it's an opioid, we can see some pupil constriction, also the risk for respiratory depression, drowsiness. So those are things we would be watching for. Prior to giving it, we would, of course, want to know their pain level. We would want to know their respiratory rate, their O2 sat, making sure that we're checking all of those things. And careful when we're giving it to somebody with a history of addiction. But as we know, we don't withhold pain medicine for somebody who has legitimate pain. Who decides they have legitimate pain? The patient decides that. Our goal is that we will hopefully see that decrease in pain. We are watching for safety issues with that because it can be sedating. Pardon me. The next medication I'm going to talk about is morphine. Morphine can be given quite a few different routes, PO, IV, intrathecal, epidural. Depending on the route will depend on the dosing. Just remember that IV epidural, we're talking about way lower doses than if we're giving something oral. It is an opioid analgesic. Of course, it can cause all the same opioid issues, drowsiness, respiratory depression, constipation, changes in that level of This, one of the other things you can see with morphine is we can see a drop in the blood pressure. So we want to make sure that their blood pressure is okay in order to give that. Be careful with giving any other respiratory depressants. We're hoping that we'll see a decrease in pain afterwards. Hydromorphone, that is also known as Dilaudid. Again, we can give this IV, PO, lots of different routes. Hydromorphone, though, is much stronger than morphine. So if I'm giving 1 milligram of morphine, hydromorphone, as we talked about with the PCA, that was like a 0.2 milligram. So big difference in those dosing. So again, same thing with the narcotics. We want to same risk factors, constipation, respiratory depression, O2 sat dropping. can see some dropping of your blood pressure with the hydromorphone. Also, again, careful with any other medication, and we're hoping that we'll see a decrease in pain. Other medications that you should bring forward from nursing into nursing 353 would be like naloxone. We talked about naloxone. Naloxone, typical dosing is 0.4 milligrams. We give that for somebody who is in respiratory depression, respiratory issues, secondary from an opioid. And sometimes if we don't know what the cause is, we'll go ahead and give the naloxone, because if it's from something else, it's not going to hurt them. And sometimes we have to give that dose multiple times for somebody who is seriously overdosed on medications. As we talked about with the naloxone, we can see somebody start having really bad pain after that if they've had surgery. And so we're going to want to monitor that after we give that medication. You also have to be careful with naloxone because the half-life of it's pretty short. And so if you're not monitoring that patient, they may still have some of that medication in their system. And once that naloxone basically wears off, for lack of a better word, then you have the risk of them having those problems. So those patients do need to be monitored very closely. So again, when we're thinking about our opioid pain medication, we really want to be thinking about those issues that we talked about in class. So the constipation. So as we had talked about in class, one of the things we might have somebody take would be that docusate sodium, which is a stool softener. So that could be one of the things to help. Another option we could do for the constipation would be encouraging PO fluids, as long as it's not contraindicated for their medical issue or medical conditions. Encouraging them to eat high fiber foods, so things like apple and fiber. And so knowing what those types of foods would be are also going to be an important thing with anybody who's on an opioid. We also want to make sure that we're doing a good belly assessment on them, as we talked about in class. I think those are the big things to know with the medications that we've talked about through class. If you have any questions, be sure to reach out, and I hope that this was helpful.